Come on, lift your voice and give God a shout in here. Come on, lift your voice and give God a shout in here. Come on, come on. Tonight we've come to celebrate. Come on, let's lift our voice. Let's magnify him. Let's magnify him. Come on, lift your hands. Let's magnify him tonight. God, we bless you. We glorify you. God, we give you praise, honor, and thanksgiving. Holy Spirit, Lord God, we magnify your name. We exalt you tonight, Lord God. We're grateful people, God, and so we bless you. We pray for your spirit to fall in this place now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we cry out for a fresh impartation. Come on, lift your voices, saints. God, we bless you. We bless you. It's not about us. It's all about you, God. Tonight, we come to glorify you. We spend too much time focusing on too many things. Tonight, we lift our voices in one mighty voice to magnify you, to glorify you. We push past, Lord God, our fears and push past our fatigue and push past, Lord God, our sophistication. And tonight, we lift our voices in worship and praise, Lord God. Fire fall in this place. Spirit of the living God. We pray, Lord God, for an outpouring now in the name of Jesus. Pour out your spirit now. Pour out your spirit now. We need a new feeling, God, a new feeling, a new feeling. God, fill us, God, fill us, God. Every heart that's open, every mind that's receptive, Lord God, let your spirit overflow in this place. Invade our space. Let your kingdom come and your will be done, Lord God. Let your kingdom come and your will be done, God. Let your kingdom come and your will be done. Let your kingdom come, God, and your will be done. And we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise, God. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory in this place. We bless your name tonight. We bless your name tonight. We bless your name tonight, God. We bless your name tonight. Come on, just quiet your spirits. Just begin to offer up worship. Just in your own way, just begin to offer up worship tonight. God, we bless you. We exalt you. Lord God, with the fruit of our lips, Lord God, we magnify you, God. Lord God, we magnify you. We cry out to you, Lord God. Lord God, we cry out tonight, Lord God. There's a grateful people in this house tonight, God. We cry out, Lord God. We say that you are holy, God. You are holy, God. You are righteous, God. My God, you are everlasting to everlasting. You're the Ancient of Day. You're the giver and sustainer of life, God. And so tonight our hearts are full, Lord God, to the overflow when we think of your goodness, when we think of your kindness, when we think of your grace, your mercy, Lord God. Tonight, Lord God, we stand here all struck by your glory, all struck by your mercy, all struck, Lord God, by your loving kindness, God. We bless you. We're a worshiping people, God. We're a worshiping people. Worship is not a point in the service. Worship is a lifestyle, God. We're a worshiping people, Lord God. And so tonight we worship you. Tonight we worship you, God. We bless you. We bless you. We give you praise. We give you praise tonight. We give you praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. We bless your name. We bless your name tonight, God. In Jesus' name. Come on, let the church shout amen tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can have your seats just for a moment. Once again, we are certainly honored to be with you. We just so delighted to be among the people of God. I can't stress enough. My wife certainly went to great lengths, and I won't rehearse too much of what she said, but we're just grateful to be with you, the people of God, and we're just so honored to be among the people that God loves. Amen. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit, and I won't be with you very long. I'm gonna teach just for a moment, and then I wanna have some special prayers, some special times of prayer. I just feel like there's something the Spirit of God wants to do tonight. Anybody believe in miracles? Man, I'm so glad to hear that. I was nervous for a minute. I didn't know if you believed in miracles. I'm so glad to hear you believe in miracles. I'm believing for miracles tonight. I don't know about you, but I'm just excited to see what the Spirit of God wants to do in our midst tonight. There's some folk that have some needs. I know you came with some needs tonight, and we're going to deal with that. Word of God, and let me just kind of read some stuff to you and talk a little bit. Word of God, in Mark chapter 10, I'm going to read the story that you might be familiar with. It's the story of blind Bartimaeus. Word of God records in the 46th verse of the 10th chapter of St. Mark. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, a whole lot of folk, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Verse 47. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when he knew it was Jesus, and when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, 47, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus stands still. He calls him and he asks him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. Some translations say on the road. Others translations say he followed Jesus in the way. Followed Jesus in the way. There are at least two ways that I'm aware of that we experience the move of God, and some folk characterize it like this. You can either ride the wave or make the wave. You can either ride the wave or make the wave. We talked, I guess, in the last year in our congregation about the fact that a lot of times we can pride ourselves in the family of faith on the extemporaneous move of God in the body of believers. Many of you, probably like ourselves, have been in services where things have been programmed and planned, and then somehow the Spirit of God just comes in the room, interrupts our plan, and then does something supernatural. Amen. And many of us have seen it over the years, have been blessed by the interrupting nature of God, that when we've laid out the strategy and laid out the plan, even in our personal lives, we have a thing. We kind of know what the natural progressions of things are. But then God comes in and he just interrupts what we're doing. That's when we ride the wave. When the Spirit of God comes in and does something, we just bless what God is doing and allow for him to do whatever it is that he's trying to do in our lives. But I want to talk tonight about creating the wave, because we have several instances in Scripture where people don't wait to feel anything, they don't wait to sense anything, they don't wait to have some quickening or some move, but it's almost as if they just jump in God's way and force him to kind of interact with them before he moves on to the next thing. I'll give you a few examples in a moment because some of you don't believe me yet. But there are seasons in Scripture that we see individuals where Jesus is on his way somewhere else, where he's on his way to do something else, and they are so desperate and so committed and so determined that they kind of just step in Jesus's way and say, I know you got to get somewhere, but before you go there, you got to see about me. The Bible says that Jesus was headed to Jairus's house, going to deal with his daughter, but there was a woman, a desperate woman with an issue of blood. And though Jesus was preoccupied in a conversation and now headed to a destination and had a multitude around him, this woman in her desperation decided to get in Jesus's way. She backed herself into him and just grabbed the hem of his garment by faith
and virtue and healing was released into her life because she didn't wait for a service, didn't wait for the preacher, didn't wait for anything to happen or didn't feel anything or something to, you know, kind of, you know how we do. Sometimes we wait for the good song to come on. We wait for the good worship song to hit us. When that good song hit, we start to feel a little something. Then we press in. She didn't wait for the organ. She didn't wait for the drummer. She didn't wait for the worship leader. The twins weren't even there yet. Nobody could play. No, it wasn't there yet. She just decided that what she needed from God was so important. God, I know you got other stuff to attend to, but before you go there, I'm going to just jump in your way. Word of God said Jesus was walking past, and I love this story. We see him do it often. You know, he kind of intersects with bad situations. There was a funeral passing his way. Jesus happened to be walking down the same road. And where everybody is mourning and crying and wailing, Jesus just walked by and just touched the coffin. And everything that was dead had to jump about that coffin because it intersected with the glory that was inside of God. There's story after story, and if we look carefully enough, we'll find that there are people in Scripture that understood that it wasn't about a feeling, it wasn't about a sense, it wasn't about having to wait for something, but they had an understanding of what was inside of God. Word of God says that woman comes with her child and begins to beseech God, Jesus, to give her healing or deliverance for her child. And Jesus very plainly, first of all, ignored her. Then he moved on from ignoring her to say, it is not fit for me to give the children's bread to the dogs. And I love this woman's answer. It's something about being desperate that you don't mind looking stupid. Something about being desperate. You don't mind people talk about you, what they think about you, what names they call you. She said, oh, you know what? You're right, God. You can call me a dog and whatever else you want to call me, but even the dogs get the bread, the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And I honestly feel like Jesus, as he stood there, kind of got tickled like, this woman ain't no joke. My God. It just caught him off guard. I've never seen faith like that. Is there anybody in the house tonight that has faith like that? You can call me a dog, you can ignore me, but thou son of David, have mercy on me. The word of God says in this story, we see blind Bartimaeus, who is by the side of the road. The word of God says he's on the wayside, on the highway. He's outside of the context of the flow of traffic. He's just off to the side, just slightly removed from where the action is happening. He's one who has been marginalized, one who has been put off to the side, one who has found himself in a very familiar place for some, where you're not a part of it. You're almost at the beck and call of life. You've been victimized by circumstances. Victimized by pain, victimized by poverty, victimized. And so in this place of his blindness, now he has to beg for alms because he cannot work. He cannot have gainful employment. And so as things are happening in the hustle and bustle of the environment in the day, he's not included in the action. And he was sitting on the side, sitting by himself, sitting a bit dejected, sitting a bit detached, sitting a bit off of the main thoroughfare. But he heard that Jesus was coming by. And he decided at that moment that I've sat by the wayside long enough, that I've sat in this predicament long enough, that I've sat in my pain long enough, I've sat in this confusion long, I've sat in this brokenness long enough, I've been on the wayside watching life pass me by, watching opportunities pass me by, watching the great things of this day. I've sat over here long enough. I hear that Jesus is coming down the street, and I've decided I'm not going to let him pass me and not give me what I need to get back in the game. Is there anybody here that has a need in your life that you've let be there long enough? There's a habit in your house that's been there long enough. The pain in your body that's been there long. There's brokenness in your heart that's been there long enough. Is there anybody here that's sick and tired of being sick and tired of drama, sick and tired of mess, sick and tired of confusion, sick and tired of broken homes, sick and tired of divorce, sick and tired of failed churches and lost men and women, sick and tired of pastors leaving the ministry, sick and tired of deacons going astray, sick and tired of the world coming to collision with life. And are there any folk in the house that are just tired of sitting by the wayside and allowing for life just to happen to you? Is there anybody here that heard that Jesus was walking by, my God, and you decided in your heart, I'm desperate enough that I'm not going to let God trouble this water and I not jump in? Is there anybody here that needs something from God tonight and has enough desperate faith to get up and grab what God has for you? My God, I'm praying for a sense of urgency in the house tonight. Been praying all day, asking for the Spirit of God to unlock passion in the house tonight. I came tonight to do warfare with the enemy. I came tonight to break the back of that slew foot joker in this house tonight. We've sat quietly too long and allowed for the enemy to raise his head. And some of us have been so victimized and we've been kept quiet and we've suffered in silence. My God, walked in pain without telling nobody. You got secret pain and secret hurt and secret brokenness. You got things that have been affecting your family generation after generation. And tonight, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we're going to break down every stronghold, every demon, every devil that's been dogging your tracks has got to give up and go back to hell in the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus was fed up sitting by the wayside. He was tired of letting life just pass him by. And so he begins to cry out. And he says, Jesus, Son of David. Now I need you to sense why he calls him the Son of David. You have to understand that in invoking the name David, he is immediately calling to bear the kingship of Jesus. What he's saying is, I recognize you as the line of David who was the king. And so when I see you, yes, in power, I see you, yes, as Savior, but I see you as the ultimate and supreme ruler of everything we see and that which we do not. You have to recognize, body of Christ, that there have been kingdoms set up in this earth. There have been regional dominions set up in this earth. The enemy of your soul, the prince and the ruler of the darkness in this age, there is a spirit that has set up dominion all over this world, has set up pockets of dominion, pockets of regional authority, has set up dominion inside of education, and set up dominion inside of government, and set up dominion inside of communities, and set up dominion inside of finances, and even set up dominion inside of churches. There's an enemy of your soul that has been building his kingdom, has been building his authority, has been bringing individuals into his care to raise them up, to forward his cause, and to forward that which he's trying to establish in the earth. But when Bartimaeus calls for the Son of David, he's immediately recognizing that God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, that he's above all things, before all things, greater than all things, that everything that exists, things in high places, things in low places, that which is in the earth, that which is in the heavens, and even under the earth, all has to submit to the kingship. In other words, he's saying, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is. And are you not hearing me yet? Let me take a little bit more time with this. What he's trying to say is this, that in the earth there has been established rulership. And this world operates according to the rulership of the darkness of this age. That's why you have so much violence and so much killing and so many issues and immorality and sexual sin and so many things that are happening. You look at television, you look in your neighbor, and you see how there's certain, they say birds of a feather flock together. Those are not birds, those are demons. There's a demonic attack that's in the earth that has set up dominion in the earth. And what's happening is, we sometimes have become victimized by demonic tact in this world. The enemy of our soul is not just after you. He's after your influence. He wants to get you and bring you captive, that everyone that's connected to you can walk in that same captivity. And what's been happening in the earth is that we've spent too much time laid back and, oh, that's just this, or that's just that, or that's just a song, that's just a show. No, that's a demonic attack to set up dominion to captivate this culture. My God. And so when he calls the son of David, my God, I hope you're hearing this because they're after the babies. When he calls the son of David, what he says is this: I recognize that there is demonic force that is in the earth that has been set up by the prince of darkness, but there is a king that has glory upon glory and grace upon grace. So I'm praying that the kingdom will come and his will be done, that everything that's not like God has to bow in humble submission when God walks into the room. Son of David, have mercy on me. The word of God says that Jesus stands still. It's an amazing thing when you can capture God's attention. That when the hustle and bustle, the word of God says that as he leaves Jericho, there is a great multitude. I can imagine the sounds of all the people and the camels and mules and all the things that are happening there. There is noise and talking. There is chatter, possibly singing. There are so many people, a great multitude, possibly thousands of people who are traveling with Jesus. Yet one man's voice crying out causes Jesus to stop and stand still. Faith can bring a parade to a screeching halt. Jesus stands there, and as he cries, the people around him tell him to be quiet. They tell him to lower his voice. They tell him it don't take all that. They tell him that you're too loud, you're too emotional, and you're too sweaty. You're moving too much. You're screaming too much. Sophisticate yourself. Square your shoulders and raise your pinky and talk like you got some UK sense. I mean, learn how to just relax a little bit. You're too emotional. You're crying out too much. You're saying too much. But I've discovered in my life, and maybe you've caught this in your life, sometimes you walk through the kind of hell that caused you to say, I don't care what I look like to anybody else. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've walked through. You don't know the pain that I'm living in. So Jesus, thou son of death. Cries out even louder. I need some folk in the house tonight to just look at people and say like David, if you think this is bad, I'll even become more undignified than this. When Jesus is in the building, I'll raise my voice. I'll wave my hands. I'll give him a shout because I need a miracle. Tell him be quiet. I'm almost done. Tell him be quiet. Jesus is standing still. They try to hush him. He screams the more, and the word of God says that Jesus turns and tells them, bring him to me. And I believe the same folk that told him to shut up were the same folk. Guess what? He's calling you. That's why you can't trust people. Because people will change on you in a minute. The same ones that have and sing your praise will be the same ones that try to shut you down. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean. Oh, come on, y'all know the song. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Bless the name of Jesus. So Word of God says, they tell him to come. I don't have time to deal with this right now, but the Word says that he threw off his garment. Threw off his garment. And he comes to Jesus. Now, indulge me to utilize a bit of conjecture in this moment. I can see him as he stands there, because I believe in his heart, filled with faith, he says to himself, finally. In that moment, I can see tears welling up in the eyes that cannot see. Because in that moment, he's thinking to himself, all these years I've lived with this pain. All these years I've lived with this brokenness. All these years I've lived with this hurt. Finally, I can't see him. Something about the energy in the air feels like something amazing is about to happen. And I could just sense him fidgeting, unable to control himself because he just doesn't know. He's waiting to hear what the master will ask him. Will the master ask him, how did you get here? Will the master ask him, what sin did you commit that brought about this great tragedy in your life? Will the master make him do some great thing, jump through some great hoop, do some great theatric? He has no idea. He's just standing there, and he's at the mercy of the master. Jesus asked him the most profound question that any of us will ever hear from God. What do you want me to do for you? I've got one point tonight. Hear what I'm saying, body of Christ. I'm talking to you. Tonight, the Spirit of God has brought you here to ask you one question. He doesn't care how you got where you are. He doesn't care how life fell apart for you. He doesn't care what sin you committed that ended you up in this space. He does not care. In this single moment, God's got one question for you. What do you want me to do for you? Not for your mother. Not for your child, not for anyone else. In this moment, in this season, what is it that you need? What is it that you've been long? What prayers have you stopped praying because you thought all hope was lost? What things have you given up on because you felt like it was no use, that it was beyond saving, that the future was too bleak, that the night was too dark? What have you stopped believing for? Jesus is standing in this space in this moment. He's asking you one question. Just tell me, child, I love you so. Just tell me, what do you want me to do for you? Live in a world where everyone wants something from us. Constantly having to put out and give out and shell out and love out. And Jesus is saying that the ruler of the universe, who stands above all creation, who stepped out on nothing and spoke all things into existence, has all power in his hand. There's nothing beyond his capability, nothing beyond his scope or his scale, stands in creation, my God, with all power, all authority, all wisdom, all honor. And he looks at his child who was broken and bruised, and he just says, baby, just tell me what you want me to do. I just want to see. I just want to receive my sight. God, just open my eyes. I've never seen the beauty of your creation. I've never seen the face of my child. I've never seen all the wonderful things that I hear about going on around me. I just want to see. Jesus does something a bit peculiar. This is is one of those times. He does not spit in the ground. He does not spit in his eyes. He does not lay his hands. He does not do any of those things. He says, all right, your faith has made you well. And the word of God says immediately his eyes were open. Okay, here's I'm done. Here it is. And the word says that as he saw, then he followed Jesus. Tonight is a night that we create the wave. It's a night that we impose upon the Spirit of God. We place a demand on his word. It's not that he necessarily, in some special or specific way, witnesses unto us some specific thing, as much as we place a demand on that which we know about God. We know that he loves us. We know that he cares. We know that his continual, eternal intention toward us is always good. So we make our request known tonight. We come before him saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. If I can have a piano player come to the piano just for a moment, we're going to sing a few songs. Maybe just sing a couple of choruses of a song. Everybody standing. I'm going to do a couple of things tonight. The first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to pray for Pastor. Pastor French, if I can indulge you not to play right now, because I want to have a word of prayer for you, that's all right. There's another piano player that can help us tonight. The first thing I'm going to do, Spirit of God, as we begin to open service, begin to witness unto me, that I need to pray for pastors tonight. Now, tonight's a night of faith. What will work tonight, what will happen tonight is based on faith. It's based on faith. Bless the name of Jesus. Pastors, if I could have you come forward just quickly and just stand here. I believe all five pastors are here. If you are members of these pastors' church, particularly leadership first, if the spouse and the leadership is here, let me have you come and lay your hands on your pastor first. Then a few members, if you'd like to also come. And I need folk that have faith. If you don't have faith, you know, I can pray for that later. But right now, I need people who are full of faith to lay their hands on their pastor. Are there any members from the BRAC? Nobody from the BRAC? Okay, then let me have some. Thank you, Adrian. My wife's going to lay her hands. And let me just have a couple of other folk, leadership, that will just lay their hands on Pastor French and his wife. I'm going to tell you a secret that your pastor's not going to tell you. They're tired. And the unfortunate truth in every culture, not just the United States or England or here or Africa, in every culture, is that in the church dynamic, we don't allow for our pastors to be tired. Because there's always something else. This is the only incessant job on the planet. Never turns off, never shuts off, never shuts off. I'm here at this convention, I'm emailing, texting, because my job doesn't stop. There are people who need me constantly, and certainly, don't get me wrong, you know, I talk about stewardship and understanding balance, doing the best we can to make sure that we're not overrun and overworked, but the truth is, this job, the demands of this assignment, everywhere your pastor goes, they're on assignment. In the grocery store, they're on the side. I was in the grocery store with Pastor Pagare. Everywhere she went, somebody waving, someone. She can't just be Ellen. She's Pastor Ellen or Pastor Pagare. Watch Pastor Ebanks his entire week serve in almost every capacity imaginable. Then I found out he plays guitar too. What doesn't this man do? Because at the end of the day, if it doesn't get done, it falls on them. So if the sound man doesn't show up, Pastor Ebank has to work the sound. If no musician came, Pastor French had to play the piano. And they have to pray for your soul. And they have to bury your family. And they have to marry your kids. And they have to bless your babies. And they have to come to the hospital. And they have to make sure, after all that, find some time with God to get a word to preach to you on Sunday morning. after we done run them crazy, called them all hours of the night, we demand of them that they better be good on Sunday. Better have had some time with God. And it's hard. They got to cast vision. Pastor, a mile's in the middle of a building project now. Can I tell you the truth? Building projects kill pastors. I'm not prophesying that. That's a statistical fact. My father died in the middle of a building project. $20 million. Don't help you sleep at night. So our job, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray prophetically over them. But beyond this prayer is a life commitment by these congregations to stand up behind these men and women. When the pastor is doing their job, support them. When the pastor makes a mistake, support them. These are human beings that have given their lives to God and doing the best that they can to serve Him and to work with you. Honor these men and women of God. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going along. Pray for them. After we pray for them, I'm going to ask them to join me in praying for you. There may be needs tonight. We'll get to that in a moment. We're going to pray for every single need that's in the house tonight and believe God for a miracle. Amen. Come on, let's lift these men and women of God up. Come on. Father, we thank you. God, we bless you for your men, for your women, for the man servant, the woman servant, Lord God, that you have called into ministry. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for their commitment to you. I thank you that they answered the call when folk ran from the call, when people ducked your assignment. These men and women stepped up, my God, under difficult circumstances, with families to raise and lives to live. They gave their all to you, Lord God, committed their ways to you, Lord God, gave, Lord God, their energy and their attention to you. They're walking in humble submission to you, God. And we know the weight and the burden, my God, the burden of hope, the burden of faith, the burden, Lord God, to walk in the assignment of the kingdom of God sometimes gets heavy, Lord God. So many people to touch, so many folk to reach, so many lives to affect. Lord God, they become yoke fellows with you, Lord God. But sometimes in our humanity, Lord God, we get tired, Lord God, because we're just going and going and giving and giving and serving. And Lord God, we have to mediate arguments and try to manage people, Lord God, and deal with drama, Lord God, and make sure folk play nice, Lord God. And in their lives, Lord God, the weight, the responsibility, even as they go after nations, Lord God, these men and women have a call, Lord God, not just to Cayman, Lord God, but to Nicaragua, and to Honduras and to Ecuador and to Cuba, Lord God. You've placed nations in their belly, Lord God. You've placed assignments in their belly, Lord God. They've given their lives to travel the globe to carry your goodness and carry your glory, Lord God. And though the spirit is willing, the flesh sometimes is weak, God. Sometimes beaten by circumstances. Sometimes, Lord God, laden, Lord God, by the situation. But God, I pray for fresh fire now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I pray for a fresh wind. I pray, Lord God, for revitalization. I pray, Lord God, you rejuvenate the spirit, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would give new vision, new dreams, new ideas, Lord God. I pray that you would lift up, Lord God, hung down heads, Lord God, raise up weak, even as Moses, Lord God, stood at the mountaintop, Lord God, as his arms were lifted, they won. And when they fell, Lord God, they lost. Let these men and women have good folk around them that'll help to hold their arms up, Lord God. And as the church faces every battle, Lord God, they'll walk in victory, Lord God, because they have the power, Lord God, of agreement, the power of unity. Lord God, I come against every spirit, unlike your spirit, that will try to slither into your church and slither up close, Lord God, to detach, Lord God, to tear down and diminish the call of God on their life. I come against the slew foot demon that will seek, Lord God, to take away from, that will seek, Lord God, to infiltrate, Lord God, the walls of the kingdom. And right now, we take authority over his plan. We curse it now in the name of Jesus. Satan, we rebuke you, and the blood of Jesus is against you, Lord God. We thank you for power, Lord God. Now bless them, Lord God. Let there be a fresh wind that comes over them, Lord God. Let there be a fresh wind that comes over them, Lord God. Blow a fresh wind over them, Lord God. A fresh wind over them, Lord God. Fresh wind, Lord God. Breathe on them, Spirit of the living God. Breathe on them, God. Breathe on them, God. Breathe on them. them, God. Breathe on them, Lord God. I bless you. Lord God, now I pray, Lord God, that you will let your fire, Lord God, let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Burn up everything that's not like you, God. Burn everything that's not like you. Burn it up, Lord God, and then ignite a flame in your people, Lord God, that it will permeate every part of this globe. And we thank you for it. Come on, lift your voice and give God a shout in here.